Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
All right. Just making sure. I don't want to start this thing on the wrong foot. You know what I'm saying? I want to mess up. I don't want to mess up church. Now look. We're going to have this time. Is the microphone on? I can't tell. There it is. It's on now. Now I don't got to yell. That's all right. I may still yell, but I don't have to. It's just now that I'll choose to. So what I'm saying is, come on, we're going to worship God. Whatever's cooking at home, it's at home cooking. Leave your mind off it. It'll be all right. Even if something burns down, you got insurance. You'll be all right. You know, it's going to be okay. Take this time to put your mind on the Lord, to sing praises to Him, to listen to what He has to say. Take this time to get strong with the church family. Take this time to grow. Take this time to learn. Take this time to praise. You all ready for that? And you know what? God hasn't invited any perfect people here. The presence of the Lord is the only perfect presence of any person that we'll have in this place. So if you're trying to have your perfect on, just take that coat off. Be all right. Shake your hands out. Take a deep breath. And trust in a perfect God. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. And I pray that as we come together, as we praise you, even with who we are, we're people who need your help. We're imperfect. We're sinners. We're saved folks who don't act it. We're saved folks who don't grow. We're saved folks who need help. Some of us ain't saved folks in here, but we're here. And would you do something in our lives? Would you give us the freedom to respond to your word and to your praise? And Father, we love you. We give you all the praise, and we do it in Jesus' name. Amen.
got to stand, even if they tell you to stand. But you can if you want to. You don't got to sing out. Even when everybody else is singing out, you might think, I don't want to sing out. But you can if you want to. Y'all get the drift? Be free to worship God in this place. Man, just give them praise. Feel free to do it. That makes sense? I know we got some visitors, friends, families, and parents, and everybody. And I just want to say welcome again to Christ Community Church to all our visitors, friends, and guests. You're welcome here. Be free in it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hey, did y'all hear the baby squeaking? I don't know what baby was squeaking. Lee just pointed at Annette. That wasn't you, wasn't it? No, that was back yonder. But can I tell you something? Hey, welcome to Christ Community Church, where the babies squeak, the kids run, and the preacher's goofy. And that's just stuff you got to put up with. That's just how it is sometimes, right? Amen for a real family. You can take fake families, pretend families. I'm going to smile even if I'm sad families. You can have the plastic, always acting like it's a holiday type family in church, or you can have the real deal. We'll take real deal every time. We're in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. And in that book, I titled this series we're going through, it's called The Church of God, For Real. Because if when you hear about what's going on in this church, it makes people go, really? Is that a church? Is that like for real? And it makes me want, it's almost like it begs that question. Were those things really going on in a church? In a real life church? In a church that God planted, designed, and grown? Was that really going on? It's like, yeah. Because God's church, it has all those kind of issues just like everybody else. I guess I don't see ready break to the kids. They just couldn't wait for me. They're like, that's it, man. They're like, Big John done started preaching. We've got to go. If there's anyone left for Nani's class, ready, break. Okay, I think they just, they all, see, they're learning. They're learning. They know it's time. Music stop. Big dude's preaching. Let's go. Time to get to our place. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This sermon could have been part 2 of last week's sermon. What we're talking about is the sufficiency of God to save us sinners. The sufficiency of the gospel to save us. And the sufficiency, we're going to go in this chapter, of God to grow us. When you get saved, is that a work of God? Let me just ask, if a sinner bound to hell, worthless, no good, pitiful, get saved. Is that a work of God or a work of man? I couldn't barely hear you. I had a birthday last week. I'm getting old and stuff. It's a work of God when somebody gets saved, isn't it? What about when somebody grows spiritually? What about when saved people grow? Is that a work of God or a work of man? You sure? Well, you'd be right. You know, somehow we think this. So I thought Cade was about to slap Josh, and I was like, Cade is about to attack Josh Schmitz right here in church, and y'all are witnesses. Sometimes we get to thinking this. When I get saved, God stopped working in my life. Well, he doesn't. He doesn't ever stop working in our lives. He's continuing to work. God doesn't need a break. Okay? He doesn't get tired of us when we mess up for the umpteenth time or the umpteenth millionth time. He doesn't wear out. He's not like us. He doesn't wear thin. He doesn't get sick of it. He continues to do his work. Chapter 2 has two main ideas. One, and it's important you get the order right. One, you are saved by Christ and him crucified. Period. That's it. And we're going to get into that, but that's it. And then two, you grow spiritually through the wisdom of God via the Holy Spirit of God. Growing in the Lord is a work of God. It's not because we don't get saved and all of a sudden become very responsible, smart, intelligent people. Maybe that happened to some of y'all, but me, I'm still just the sinner that God pulled out of the gutter, except for now I'm saved. And he's teaching me. And we'll talk about that. But those things are important. God wants everybody to get saved, and he wants every saved person to grow. Did y'all get that? If you keep that in your head, and you help me keep that in my head, this church will go along just the way it needs to go. Because we'll be working at those things that are important. Making sure that everybody gets saved, and making sure that the saved people grow. And how do we do it best? It's just by yielding ourselves over to the work of God. Listen to the word. I'm going to read the first five verses and then just blow up with joy, and then I'll read the rest of the chapter after that. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the reminder through your word of how awesome you are and what you've done and who you are. And Father, would you help us to just continue to place ourselves in your hands, in your grace, in the gospel, to place ourselves in Christ, to see what you've done for us. Would you help us right now, Lord, so that we would have this settled. People come in and out of here, they're not settled about whether or not they're saved or what's got to be done to be saved, and if they can keep staying saved, would you settle it for them? Would you put a pin in it today? Would you put a stake down so they would know that they're saved and it's that you've done it. You've done it. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you for loving us, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul came, and he says, look, I kept it simple. I kept it simple. Christ Community Church, let's keep it simple. Let's preach Jesus. Does that be all right? Let's teach Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus. Let's point to Jesus. And I know people might say, well, John, I got problems. I got other things. Well, I'm going to tell you, he's the answer. And falling in love with him more and more is the answer. And understanding how much he loves you is the answer. We just need to keep it simple. Paul said, I didn't come trying to convince you. Well, you know, if you get saved, you'll live a lot better life. You know, that's true. But that's not what Paul came to tell him. You know, if you're saved, more likely you're going to get a better job, make more money, have a better family, have better politics, have better stuff. Do you know that's true statistically? That's true. A lot of times when people, it's called redemption and lift. When people get saved, like me,
ghetto kid from Detroit gives his life to Christ. What path was I on? Fat, drunk, and stupid. That's the path I was on. And what happened when I got saved? Well, he fit the, you know, he fixed at least two of those three. We're still knocking down the other one. I'll let you figure out which one it is. Don't look at me like that. Like, well, you know, we can't see stupid. But anyway, so what happened when I got saved? Can I tell you my life has taken on a different trajectory? Wouldn't that be something if we came and said, you know, you can have more, you can be more, like selling insurance or selling something to somebody. Let me tell you, I got this great product for you. It's going to work good, and it's going to do all these things. Wouldn't that be a wise argument to make? You know, people live longer and live better when they're in church. This is true. Statistically true. You know, you heal better when you pray. It's, again, statistically true. But Paul didn't come telling these guys any of that mess. And it's not that it's bad, but it won't save you. He came in and said, I want to tell you about Jesus who was crucified for you. And that started a whole lot of questions like this. Who is Jesus? He's the Son of God. He's perfect. He's sinless. He loved people. He loved people that nobody else loved. He did things for people that nobody else would do. He hung out with people. He gave people time with him, whether they liked him or not. You know, he ate with Pharisees, even though they didn't like him. And you know, he ate with drunken tax collectors, even though everybody made fun of him for doing it. But you know why he did it? Because he loved the Pharisees and he loved the tax collectors. He was perfect. He was perfect in all his ways. He was loving and kind and good. And he can do miraculous things. He took and fed 5,000 people with just a little bit of bread and just a little bit of fish. He met people who had been sick for decades and he healed them. He met people who had demon possession problems, which I imagine just being demon possessed is probably the major problem in that thing. And he healed them. He found people who could never repay him and he gave them what they could never repay. He gave them himself. You might ask, well, what happened to him? I'm glad you asked. The religious people of the time got so angry and got so jealous that they started plotting against him. And they and a foreign government, the Roman government, they decided that he was too good to live here anymore. They decided these things. They thought they were working on their own. And they decided to kill him. They decided to falsely accuse him, try him, and kill him. They thought they were doing it on their own. What they didn't know, what they couldn't know, was that that Jesus who died by their hand was scheduled to be a sacrificial lamb of God from the foundation of the earth. That God, the only God, the true God, the righteous God, had been planning for years, for millennium, planning the perfect time to send the perfect man to be the perfect sacrifice. And that's exactly who Jesus Christ is. And they might have said, so he died. Yeah, he died. But not for his sin. Not for his vulgarness. Not for his lustfulness. Not for his violence. Not for his rudeness, not for his carelessness, not for any fault of his, but for every fault of mine and for every sin of yours and every sin of mine, he died. He died. But in 3 days, in that, that's a big butt right there. Every once in a while, you got to point out the big butts in the Bible. And I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just telling you. He died. He died. Dead as a doornail. Dead. Died. Done. But it's not the end of the story, is it? In 3 days, God raised him up from the dead, and he is alive forevermore. And one day he will return. That one. That one who is so good, he's still good today because he's alive. That one who had pity on sinners back in the day, he still has pity on sinners because he's alive today. The one who can provide miraculously, he still provides miraculously because he's alive today. That one, that is the one Paul preached. He didn't come with all the different things about, well, you'll be a better parent, you can be a better spouse, you can be a better you can have your best life, you can have someone's life, you can do something, you can write a book, you can make a movie, you can do so much stuff. He said, Jesus died for your sinful tail, and he's alive, and if you believe in him, you'll be saved. It's like, doggone. I mean, Dad, Paul had just got back from Athens. The home of philosophy, the birthplace of human wisdom. And he says, I'm not interested in any of that because it can't save you. And he tells him the simple gospel story. And then you know what he watched? You know what he watched happen? What miracle, what power of God do you think he watched happen? Just by telling the story about Jesus. He saw something that philosophy could never bring about, that morality could never bring about, that churchianity could never bring about. He saw people, sinful people, getting saved. That is the power of God. And that's where we start. Oh Lord, help us to keep from trying to train sinful people to act saved. Take the pressure out of the churches to get hurting people to act like they're not hurting, lost people to act like they're not lost, sinful people to act like they're not sinful, and let us come to Christ, the only one who can help us. In Sunday school, God gave me this thought that I think summarizes this whole deal. It's this: God knows exactly who you are and what predicament you're in. Exactly. He is not surprised. That's part two. He knows exactly where you are. He is not surprised. And three, he is the only one who can help. He knows exactly where you are. He's not surprised. And he's the only one who can help. Can I tell you, to me that summarizes why Christ went to the cross. He knew exactly who we were. There wasn't no reforming. I sometimes feel bad. We have guests, and I don't want to talk bad about y'all. So I'll just pick on Randy. No, I'll pick on me. You can't reform me. I'm not reformable. You can't do your behavioral actions. I mean, you can to a certain point, right? It's almost like evolution. You know, it happens, you know, like I don't believe in evolution. I know it's like a cuss word in church and all. But what I'm saying is, you know, you can see like within a species, not the theory of evolution, that's all crazy, but you can see things adapt. We can see behavior modification. Like if you ring a bell and feed a dog, and every time you ring the bell, the dog salivates and wants food. Ding, 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 ding. Okay, behavior modification in that way works. But you know, God's not ever just interested in the outside. He's always interested in the inside. He's interested in the whole person. And I'm going to tell you this, I'm not reformable. I'm not somebody who you can just take and say, well, eventually he'll become somebody good. It's not me. I had to be born again. I couldn't be just reformed and reset. I couldn't be corrected. You tried to correct me as people tried to correct me before I got saved, when I used to talk really ugly, and I would have shared a lot of ugly talk with them and told them exactly what I thought of them, their mama, and all that they can do with themselves. Because ain't no sense in trying to correct a person when they're lost. Ain't no sense in trying to reform a person who hadn't been reformed by the Creator. I had to be recreated by the Creator. I couldn't have got there just through little gradual improvements over time. Christianity is not about taking sinful people and just making them more civil and more moral and more good. It's about taking lost people and making them children of God, born again, bound for heaven and not to hell. That's what it does. That's what He does. Y'all get that? It wouldn't have been no good. Even after I'm saved, it's no good. Can I tell you the whole second part of this about growing? About growing in the Lord? A lot of times we hear that the Bible is our roadmap. That's cool. It is. It's got a lot of instruction. It's good for correction, reproof, all these things. But can I tell you, you just give me a map and tell me how to work towards Christ-likeness and tell me and just point a finger and say it's that way, I'm going to get lost. I'm going to get lost. I need a teacher. I need a guide. I need more than all that. I need more than a mentor. I need God Himself to be with me. And I don't know about y'all, but I know that's the only way we grow. Listen to the Word of God starting in verse 6 and going through verse 16. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, he does not receive these things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Not only am I saved by the power of God, but God doesn't leave me. My testimony isn't this, that I came to know God, fat, drunk, and stupid, and then He said, come here, you be John for a second, and I'll be God. Maybe you should be God, and I'll be John. No, but you don't know what to say. Okay, so I'll be God. Okay. So John, you're fat, drunk, and stupid. Yes. And I want to save you. And so I'm going to save you, okay? Okay. Now, you've got a clean slate. Don't mess it up. You're on your own, bud. See you in heaven if you can make it. Okay? Hope you get there. I'm praying for you. Religion would tell us God saves us. God gives us this pass on everything in the past. And then then it's like, now you're on your own, man. I don't got to go any further than me. That wouldn't work for me. I need God. Maybe there's been times, maybe I've had a really solid 15 minutes in my life where you say, man, he was just doing his thing. He was strong and didn't need God. But something tells me 15 minutes is an overestimate. Because I can tell you something. You give me a clean slate, it's like giving me a clean white shirt. Before the end of the day, there's going to be mess on it. I'm going to spill something on it. What I get into is going to be on it. And going to go, I gave you a clean shirt. I thought that was going to last. I don't mean this in any bad way. But if God really thought that way, He would not be the all-knowing God that the Bible talks about. Because that wouldn't be smart at all. You take and put a... You just can't do it. I can't do it. I need the Spirit of God. I need Him. And when we talk about the Spirit of God, we're not talking about another God. We're talking about God's living presence with us. The Bible teaches us that there is one God. And we know Him through the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Not three gods, one God, three persons. And when God, the Holy Spirit, is in you, you're not alone. And that's how we grow. That's how I grow. That's how I can know things. That's how we can know things. It says the Spirit of God reveals these things to us. It's the Spirit of God who we've received. It's the Spirit of God who tells us the wisdom of the cross. And he says the people of this world will never get it. If you haven't been born again, you won't get it. Oh, the tragedy. Oh, what a waste the cross was. Oh, what a loss. Do you know why the religious rulers of Jesus' day, the reason they gave, it's recorded in Scripture, of why they wanted to kill Jesus? Do you know it was to shut him up? They had become jealous of him. They thought the Romans were going to come against them, and they said, don't you realize it'd be easier for us to just take out that one crazy Jew than it would be to have the whole Roman army breathing down our neck? They thought they were going to stop his influence. They thought they were going to, once we get rid of him, we won't ever hear anything about him again. Once we silence him, it's over with. His disciples will split. 5 years down the line, ain't nobody talking about Jesus of Nazareth. How'd that wisdom work out for them? How'd that work out? I'd like to ask them, how'd that work out? Hey, Caiaphas, how'd that work out for you? It worked out okay? Because I'm in Grenada, Mississippi, on the continent of North America, preaching Christ and him crucified 2,000 years later because he's alive and he's Lord and he saves people and he grows us. Isn't that something? Man, thank you, Lord. They'll never get it. It seems like a loss. It's the greatest victory. You won't understand that without the Spirit of God working in you. We can't explain it. We can't wrestle people into being saved. We can't wrestle people into growing spiritually. But we can make ourselves available to the Spirit of God. We can grow. We can continue to point to Christ. We can continue to point to the cross as the place where my life has been forever changed. The source from which God gives me everything. When he gave me Jesus, he gave me everything. Y'all understand that? When he gave us Christ, he gave us everything. You don't give the best first unless you intend on them having everything else. I love it. There's a passage in this, don't have anything, but it's just a happy passage. In Luke chapter 12, right around verse 32, he says, fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's desire, will, his want to give you the kingdom. And can I tell you, when he put Christ on the cross, and he got me, and I put my faith in him, I got Christ, I got the Holy Spirit, I've got the kingdom, I've got what he has given me. Listen to what he says. We've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And if you know he gave you his Son, there's nothing he'll hold back. And I ain't talking about prosperity. I ain't talking about, you know, you're going to close your eyes, bow your head, and wake up with a Mercedes in your driveway. Ain't nothing wrong with Mercedes. Where's the Viner's at? It's a fine German vehicle. My point is this. I ain't talking about material things. God gives that too, though. I mean, I ain't saying that he don't. What I'm saying is this. I was bound to hell, and now I'm bound for heaven. How much richer could I be? I didn't know anything. And now I know things that God wants me to know. How much richer could I be? Y'all listen. Whether we need to be saved, that's the power of God. Whether we need to grow in our salvation, that's the power of God too. You don't ever outgrow needing to lean on God. Listen to God. Follow God. Never. Never. Now, I want to talk just practically for a minute about Christ Community Church. Christ Community Church. We see these two things. Preaching the gospel and teaching the wisdom of God. We see in there a strategy. And it's always been that way. I just haven't always communicated it very good. Ask LG. He'll tell you. He still remembers. I know you're all thinking, he's old, he forgot. He hasn't forgot anything. He's like a steel trap in his brain. A little rust on it, but it's there. From the beginning of this church, Sunday morning worship has been meant to be a place where the gospel is declared and preached, where people can come and hear what they need to hear to be saved, to hear what they need to hear once they're saved and they're just babies in their faith, to be planted and to grow in grace, okay, and to get firmly established. This morning service, it's not just evangelism, but it's kind of it's more an evangelistic thing than a discipleship thing. And that's just something that you need to know. We use this. We invite everybody in. Everybody's welcome. It don't matter where you come from, where you've been, who you are, what your genetic code is, what your racial, cultural, who cares? We're wide open to everybody coming in here because we're proclaiming the gospel that saves people through the power of God, and we want everyone to hear it. Now, if you're here and you know the Lord, praise God. Sing. Worship is contagious. Let people know that you're saved. Share, but just realize when we come here, it's that point of simple, powerful, spiritual declaration of what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. Does that make sense? Now, when we do our Wednesday nights, we do our small groups, we do Sunday school, this is where we teach. This is where we want to get into the deeper things of the Christian walk. And it's not that they're deeper. Nothing is deeper. Nothing is more powerful. Nothing is higher or more lofty than Christ and Him crucified. But it's there where we try to instruct saved people on how to live saved. Does that make sense? Not to fake it, but to live it. Can I tell you the thing that worries me? I know I'm not supposed to worry, but sometimes I worry. I worry that even at Christ Community Church, the desire to mature will overtake us to the point where we stop really knowing if people are saved and we just want them to act better instead of being saved. And we would never say that out loud. We would never say, I just want them to act better. I don't care if they're saved. We would never say that. But that's regular church. Regular church, if you come in and you act a certain way, everybody thinks you're saved. Might not ever ask you. They might even feel like it would be an insult to ask you. And they'll let you come in and you can dress and you can talk and you can walk. I remember walking into Friendship Baptist Church in Lincoln Park, Michigan. I've been in Mississippi for so long. You're like, where is Lincoln Park, Mississippi? It's somewhere in this right down here. Lincoln Park, Michigan, walking into Friendship Baptist Church. And we're going in. And they said, well, come on in. You know, you can come over here. And we're just new saved. When I got saved, they had to tell me even why to go to church. And so they explained to me Jesus left the church and all this stuff. And so you have to go. So we go. And we're in the Sunday school class, and the Sunday school teacher says something, and we said, that's bold. And they're like, oh, well, you must not be very saved. And I'm like, well, I'm as saved as Jesus can make me. Why? They're like, well, we just don't talk like that. And it's like, okay. So they worked, and they, you know, behavior modification. I don't talk like that anymore. But what if I wasn't saved? And we just got you to talk right. You know, you could train a parrot to talk right. Polly want a cracker? Polly want a cracker? Polly want a cracker? John's a good preacher. Say it again, Polly. John's a good preacher. Here you go. Here's a cracker. You can train a parrot. You can make a dog speak, shake, lay down, and roll over. Don't make him saved. See, that's the basis of religion. I just want you to act right. I just want you to act this way, to look this way. It's all surface. You remember what Jesus said to the surface people? He said, you look really good on the outside, but on the inside, full of dead parts. Y'all like a cup, he said. The outside's clean, but the inside's filthy. He wasn't talking about moral filth. I don't believe it. These Pharisees, they're crazy. I mean, I think they did. They were, I'm sure there's some moral filth, but the filth they were talking about was they had rejected the Son of God, and they were sinners, still with the original sin they were born in this world with, still victims and of the curse of sin, and had never been taken away from them because they'd never been born again, and they just dressed up in religious clothes, and that can't happen here. And what I mean is, we can't let that happen here ever. Fight it. Stand on it. Say, no. You got to get saved. Then you can grow. And sometimes it takes a minute for people to realize they're saved. To realize that God's grace has got them. But we can't be another religious church. There's plenty. We can't be another just moralizing church trying to make people good based on human wisdom. The kingdom of God doesn't need not one more good man. The kingdom of God doesn't need one more good woman. Not one. But we are at a deficit for people who are born again and growing in the Lord. You get my drift? We got to get this right. This church that Paul's preaching to had all kinds of crazy moral mess going on in their life. More than ours. I know. And I know. But can I tell you? He started by saying, you got to be saved, and then you got to grow. He didn't start in by just trying to change their behavior a little bit. You couldn't change a Corinthian. You couldn't reform a Corinthian through behavior modification and well-wishing. They had to be born again, and the Spirit of God had to be their teacher. And it's the same with us. And thank God, He's willing. Let's close our eyes and bow our head for a minute. Jesus Christ died for sinners like you and me. That's just the facts. He did it because we couldn't earn it. We couldn't buy it. We can't get there on our own. If you are unsure in any way, shape, form that you are saved, the only safe thing, the only reasonable thing for you to do is to meet with God and say, Lord, would you save me? Or let me know I'm saved. Help me. That's it. You don't got another minute to put it off until your glory days are over, until any other thing. You don't got another minute. We're not given anything. And y'all, there ain't no real growth. There ain't no real opportunity to glorify God or to do anything else in this world until we come this way. The only way is through the cross. The only way, the only truth, the only life is Jesus, and no one comes to the Father but by Him. If you've never been, or you're not sure, make it sure today. And the part I didn't preach, but it'll be the whole rest of this series, is if you're saved and you're not growing, then you're resisting what the Holy Spirit of God wants to do in your life, and that's going to make you miserable. If you're saved and you're not growing, I invite you to say, Lord, I'm yours. You saved me and I'm yours. Help me, grow me, do your work. Forgive me, and I love you. This is your time to respond to God however you see fit. You can come up here and pray. You can pray where you are. But I encourage you, whatever, if anything God showed you, you need to pray to Him. Pray before you go. Do business with God before you go. If you need my help, I'm up here. Father God, have your way in us. Protect this church, become just another morality center, lifeless, familyless, godless morality center. And help us to be the church for real, the church of God, the church of the living Lord Jesus Christ, the church without pretension, a church full of saved sinners and sinners who are fixing to be saved, and those who are growing and those who are disobedient who are fixing to be obedient. Father, help us to be that church. We love you, Lord, and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. This is your time.
I'm going to ask the ushers if they'll come take the morning offering. And as they do, I just want to remind you that even in that song, when we think about the blood of Jesus being our victory, well, that just stabs in the heart the idea of you being a self-made man or a self-made woman or being that moral person. It's the blood of Jesus that gives you the victory and nothing else. And that's the gospel, that it had to take the perfect Son of God, the perfect sinless Lamb, to win our soul. And just give it to Him. Give over to Him. Surrender to Him. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for loving us. Thank You for the opportunity we have to worship You through tithes and offerings. And as we collect them, we give You praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Love my Jesus.
That's a good song. Y'all, I need to see up here before you leave. If you're going on the Beautiful Feet mission trip, I need to see you up here. So don't leave without seeing me. And if you're in small groups, I have the teaching guide. So make sure to come and get that. And I think that's it. I will encourage all of you, pray for the team that we have going to Fort Worth, Texas. We'll be out with, some of us will be out on the streets with homeless folks. We'll see old people, men, women, and children living under abandoned semi-truck trailers, living under viaducts, cold. Last year we heard babies say, "I'm just cold. It's cold, I just need some gloves." And anyway, we're going to work with them. Pray for us. And pray for them. Pray that we can deliver a gospel that can save them, okay? And that they'll have a home in heaven. Even no matter how this world turns out, they'll have a home in heaven, okay? And everything, all services are going on the same. Wednesday night service, we're going to be talking about the story of Noah. And we introduced it last time, not this last Wednesday before, but we're going to be finishing the story of Noah this coming time. And just come. It's a story of God's grace and judgment. It's a full picture, and I would just encourage you. I can't think of anything else to say. Look to Jesus. He doesn't ever stop being awesome. We don't ever stop needing our Savior and Lord. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity we had to gather together. And we love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Hey, thank you all for letting me be your pastor, and I love you. Ready? Break.